Christ's name.
Amen.
We are going to meet on the shore one day, aren't we?
Amen.
You looking forward to that?
Amen.
I'm looking forward to it. There's a day coming where we're not going to have to worry anymore about world peace, world finances, not going to have to worry about illness, not going to have to worry about who's getting along and who's not. Not even going to have to worry about getting up and going to go to church. It's going to be church every day. What a great day that'll be in the sweet mind and mind. As I turn on the TV, as I look at the radio, look at the internet, you know, as we understand about good news, bad news, there seems to be more bad news than good news. Am I the only one that seems to be picking up on that? But believe me, we've done enough studies about the end of time to know, folks, that peace is not going to be on this planet when it comes to the end of time. Wherever there's going to be conflict, you're going to find it in the Middle East. I promise you, that's where it's all going to take place. I've been praying an awful lot about doing another study in the book of Revelation. The last time I did it was 4 years ago. It was an intense study. We did that at night. This new study that I'm thinking about doing, we're going to do it on Sunday morning. But listen to me closely. When and I decide to do this, this is something that we all need to understand something. I say this every time that I think about going to a study of the book of Revelation. People get very tense about how sometimes it scares them. There's nothing scary about Revelations if you're saved.
Amen.
Nothing scary about it. Now, if you're lost, it's a pretty scary book. Because there's going to be a lot that's going to take place on this planet after the rapture of the church.
Amen.
But if you're a child of God, you're going to trumpet sounds, you're gone.
Amen.
You're going to leave. I mean, faster than you can blink your eye. You're going to leave if you're a child of God. If you're saved. If you've accepted Jesus Christ. Now, those who are left behind from the series of years ago and all those movies, yeah, it is. It's a little different. And when we preach it and teach it, we won't skip over any of that. We have never done it. In my 26 years, it'll be the fourth time I've had a study of Revelation in 26 years. But keep in mind this one thing. It's not anything scary whatsoever when it comes to Christian people. Because I say, let the trumpet sound.
Amen.
I know that you're ready. I'm ready. Let the trumpet sound.
Amen.
Until that time comes, we've got work to do. We've got something to do. We've got to be a witness. We've got to keep moving forward. We've got to keep getting up and doing what we do every day as long as we got the help. And that is to serve the Lord. And everybody said?
Amen.
All right, Brother Larry, we're ready for the scripture. You remember, this will be the last of our little series in the book of Jude. Jude started off to just write mainly about salvation. But there were some false teachings that was going on within a lot of the churches of the day. And Jude addressed that. In the latter part of this, there's only one chapter in this book. But in the latter part of this very short letter, he gives us some wonderful advice that we're going to look at. Just a quick review. He says, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." You remember what some of the apostles said. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Mockers. Mockers is another word, another way of saying they think the church is lying to them. There's a lot of people that think Christianity is a lie. There's a lot of people that say the Bible's not true. It's got a lot of mistakes in it. A lot of people don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus. They don't believe that the Bible is a true book of God. They believe it's just like the Courier Journal. It's just something that you want to pick out and read, you can read it. It don't have anything to do with today's world. And that's how they try to talk. And this is how they try to filtrate into the world. Because the Bible holds you accountable. People don't like that. People don't like to be held accountable. People don't like to be punished. The Bible talks a lot about love, grace, forgiveness. But it talks about punishment. It talks about things that are going to happen to those who won't believe in the love and grace of Jesus Christ. So, every generation and every church has dealt with people to make fun of the church. And even though I haven't been on the internet for a few weeks, so let me say to those who watch me by the internet, I've been a little under the weather. We are on the internet today, and we appreciate you being graceful to us and waiting for us to come back. But I get emails all the time about people who really question this deal. They question the fact that how can you believe the Bible from cover to cover? Surely there's some mistakes in it. Surely there's some things in God's word that doesn't apply to today. And I always respond with this. If there's mistakes in the Bible, and if some of it's not true, what part of it is true and what part of it is false? Who's going to determine that? Because if some of it's false, to me all of it's false. You either believe it or you don't. If you choose not to believe it, that's your business. No one's going to force you to believe it. And if you want to mock it, do whatever you want to do. No one's going to force you to believe the Bible. I firmly believe that the Bible is true cover to cover. Yes, there's a lot in the Old Testament that may be very hard for us to relate in modern society, but the Old Testament has just as strong a message as the New Testament. It's all about the love of God. It's all about the might of God. It's all about the strength of God. And it is about the fact that God will punish sin. It's all in there. But it's the truth.
Amen.
You have to believe it. Amen. If you don't believe it, then shut it and go on with your mind. But I promise you one day when you meet God face to face, you're going to wish you'd never shut God's word out of your life.
Amen.
Because there's going to come a time when everyone is going to answer. Mock all you want. Make fun all you want. It says in the last time, in the last days, today there are more atheists on the planet than there have been in history. Now people say, well, there's more people on the planet. Well, that's true. But I'm talking about percentage-wise. There are more atheists today than ever been in history. Now I'm going to tell you what I believe. I don't believe that's by accident either. I believe that the Word of God says in the last days there's going to be a great falling away. And there is going to be a great falling away. Mockers who are going to literally, truly, truly not believe anything at all about God, that there's even a God that exists. So this is not stuff that's new to us. I understand there will always be people who will mock Christianity and the church and Jesus. That's their prerogative. In the country in which we live, that's actually their right. They have the freedom to do that. They have the freedom to go to hell. And don't ever forget that. All right, Brother Larry, here we go. These be they who separate themselves, central, having not the Spirit. Separate. They don't believe, so they separate. They don't want nothing to do with the church. They don't want anything to do with Christianity. And so they separate, not having the Spirit. They don't have the Holy Spirit. If you've got the Holy Spirit in you, you're saved. How do you do that? You receive the Holy Spirit. It doesn't force its way into your life. When you accept Jesus Christ, the Bible says we receive the Holy Spirit. Now, that is something that grows within us. It's like anything else. As a Christian, you start off, you may be an adult person, but you start off as a child, if you will, in Christianity. And then you begin to grow up. Just like as an adult, you start off small, you start off as an infant. Then you begin to grow up. Same way in Christianity, you do the same thing. How do you grow up in Christianity? Number one, you grow up by getting in church. Find your church and get in it. Get involved in it. Give to it. Give your tithes to it. Watch what you're doing. Be faithful to it. Go to whatever it is that you need to learn. Try out Sunday school. Listen to the preacher. Praise the music. Whatever it is that there is going on, get involved in it. You need to be in God's house. Number two, you need to get in God's word. Find your translation that you like. There's preachers all over TV, all over the internet, and all kinds of places. Try to find one that you believe preaches the truth and listen to them. Get into God's word. And number three, and believe me, this is not the least of any, that is to pray daily. Prayer daily. Prayer changes people's lives. You are a product of someone praying for you today. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Christ. But ye be not building up yourself on the most holy faith, praying unto the Holy Ghost, building up. Number one job of a church is to build up. We're here to tear down, we're here to build you up in the grace of God.
Amen.
That's what it's about. When you leave the church, you ought to feel better than when you came in. We don't want you bored. We don't want you sleeping. We want you happy. We want to leave here knowing truly that God is a God of grace. His Son is the Son of salvation. And His Holy Spirit will enrich and strengthen your life every day. I don't care what you've gone through. Testimony after testimony after testimony of the people in this little church. There are people who've been up to the point of death and they're here today. There are people who have gone through all kinds of things and they're here today. You're all here today because you're a product of the wonderful grace of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
All right. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Again, I apologize for the coffee. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves in the love of God. You know, love is action. How do you keep yourselves in the love of God? You have to keep yourself within His Spirit, in His church, in His Word, and around God's people. Fellowship with Christian people. Now listen, Satan don't want you in love. Satan wants you miserable. He wants you angry. He wants you frustrated. He wants you depressed. He wants you everything but happy. But let me tell you something. You're more powerful than Satan. Not because of anything that you've done, but because of what's inside you. And the more that you live for God, the more the Holy Spirit gets within you, you will keep yourselves in truly the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. One of the main functions of the church is to make sure Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, we tell people there's nothing any greater than the amazing grace of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Through that mercy, that's how we all have eternal life. We need to be reminded every day that we're here by the grace of God and His mercy. He has forgiven you. He has forgiven you. He has forgiven you. And He is building a home for you because you believe in His Son. Does it make you perfect? Doesn't make life all adorable and happy every day. But it makes you to understand that no matter what you go through and no matter what you're dealing with, Jesus will be with you every day. He won't kick you out like other people. He won't smack you around like other people. He will forgive you. Now, let me say this to you. There is really something to this forgiveness you need to understand, folks. It's not an automatic thing. If you've got the Holy Spirit in you, when there's something wrong in your life, it's going to tell you. It's going to convict you. It's going to remind you. It's going to haunt you until you make it right.
Amen.
You need to make it right. Whatever it is, make it right. Now, it's not everybody's business on this planet. The only business it is God's business, but it is right. His business. You need to make it right. You need to pray for forgiveness. Sometimes you need to come to this altar and ask the Lord to heal you, forgive you, give you strength. And I promise you, once you do that, you will feel His forgiveness. And there's no greater feeling on this planet when you make it right with God than He forgives you. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Christ and accepts Jesus Christ, he will be saved. But what we need to understand, some would make a difference in your life. And everybody here is not the, you know, we're not the greatest things since sliced bread. Sometimes we're not lovable. I know that's hard for you to believe, but sometimes I'm not lovable. Anybody want to give you an amen?
Speaker's broken in nursery.
Yeah.
I think he had something to do with it.
Sometimes Lynn's not lovable, look at him. Now, Mike's always lovable, but you know, not everybody can be like Mike. But you know, we all, careful, we all understand that we're human beings and we're not perfect. So we've got a mouth, we've got an attitude, we've got a temper. We can really, it don't take much to get us really off balance a little bit, kind of whack. Everybody's got that potential. Jesus can make a difference in your life. He can make a difference in my life. And when he makes a difference in your life, you have the responsibility to make a difference in someone else's life. And it doesn't mean that you're constantly just, if someone's going to be mean to you, that you sit there and take it. But it means that you understand something this year. You understand this one thing. Jesus died for you. He accepted you where you were at. No matter what you was doing, where you were at when you did it. If you ask for forgiveness, he's going to forgive you. And he's going to make a way for you. Now, that doesn't mean, again, that you're going to be perfect. But it does mean that you've accepted Jesus Christ. And one of the very most important issues of our lives is how we witness to other people. And I say this all the time. It doesn't mean that it's constantly a knocking on the door or carrying around a Bible. It's how you act. It's how you treat people. Sometimes it's also how you react, whether or not that Jesus is within you. Keep in mind one thing. Your responsibility is to make a difference in someone's life. And how you do that is showing compassion. Showing compassion. Understand this. You're a product today because someone showed you compassion. Give the Lord a hand of applause. And others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now, here's a real neat picture of something. Why is it important to witness? Why is it important to live my faith out in front of other people? Because it really, here's the picture. There are people today, we don't ever know today who's going to live, who's going to die. We don't know that. Some of us in this room could leave this world today. That's just a fact of life. But literally, at the moment that someone accepts Jesus Christ, they are really, truly just one step away, one heartbeat away from hell. And it's literally like we pull them out and pull them into God's love. How do we do that? We do that by extending a hand. We do that by saying there's a better way of life. We do it by saying, you know, I had one step in hell too. Because before you're saved, you've got, you know, you've got one foot in hell right there. But someone grabbed you before you took that last heartbeat. Here's a picture, I want you to see it. Before you truly went all the way to hell, God, through his people, pulled you out. You get the picture? You are a product of someone that pulled you out of Satan's arms, Satan's grip, Satan's hell, and gave you a second chance and said, welcome home. Welcome home. You have a new home. You have a new place. And it's called heaven. Literally pulling them out of the fire. And what this means here by hating even the garment spotted by the flesh, we're not to love sin, we're to hate sin. We're to love the sinner. And what you're doing by doing that is what you're saying is, I don't agree with your sin, I don't agree with your lifestyle, I don't agree with what you're doing. I also didn't like what I was doing. But God saved me. And when you pull them out of that fire, what you're seeing to them is out of hand. You're not a part of hell no more. You're not in the family of Satan no more. You're in the family of God. And when you do, things are going to change. And it's going to change for the better. What a picture. You get the picture? Give the Lord a hand of applause. All right, Larry. Now, this is one of the greatest, I'm going to show this to you. This is one of the greatest benedictions that you will ever see anywhere in any this sweet and wonderful letter book. I want you to look at that. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, alive. And to the present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now. Look at that. You won't find this. This is fabulous. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Here's the real deal that I want you to understand about salvation. Once Jesus gets a hold of me, he will never let me go.
Amen.
I say this time and time again. I want you to know something. God is not a God that loves you one day, lets you go the next. Now, I always give this illustration. I ain't no telling how many times in 26 years I've done this. But it just seems to make the impact. When I'm saved, God reached down to me and grabbed me, and I grabbed him. Okay? This is a partnership. He grabbed me, I grabbed him. I said, I want to be a part of your family. I want to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We're hanging on. Sometimes in life gets tough. Sometimes I blame God, and sometimes I let go. It's a picture you've heard so far. Here's what God's Word says. God's Word says God never lets go of me. I may let go of him. He never lets go of me. And then through his grace, through sometimes life's unpredictable ways, we come back to him. We rededicate our lives. We grab hold of the end. Everybody here is prompt to let go and grab the end. Let go, grab on the end. But no matter, God does not let go of me. What does it mean? But he doesn't make me answer for my sin. Oh, I promise you, you're going to answer for that. Most people who get out of the will of God say it's some of the most miserable time they've ever been in their life. But once you grab a hold of him, he grabs a hold of you. That's it. That's life changing. That's amazing grace. Because there were some times in my life, he not only should he have let me go, he should have threw me away. And he didn't die. He didn't throw me away. He held on to me. He held on to me. The only wise God, glory. Dominion to power both now and forever. Not only has he got a hold of me today, but he will have a hold of me forever. It doesn't get any better than that. Whenever you've got a sad day, whenever there's some things not going right in your life, you turn to this scripture. You turn to verse 24 and 25 and you understand this. God in his grace, God in his love, loved you now. We'll love you tomorrow. We'll love you forever. And when you let go of him, yep, you're going to be miserable. Yep, you're going to be reminded you need to be in the will of God. And you are to be miserable. I hope you're miserable. I pray that you're miserable. But you're not out of the will of God. Because something needs to get your attention. And once you wake up and you come back, he never lets you go. You grab a hold again. And there is no greater feeling on the planet to know that you and God are together again. Hanging on together. Hanging on together, fighting together, day in, day out, in God's grace. It doesn't get any better now. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Stand with me, please. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Father, in the most precious and holy name of Jesus. your spirit. It's in this place. Oh, your amazing grace is in this place. Father, it is our prayer today. If there be one here today that is lost, that this will be the day of salvation. To come and take me by the hand and just say, Brother Roger, I want to be saved. I'm going to have a word of prayer with you, and I want to welcome you to the kingdom of God. And this is life-changing for eternity. Maybe you're here today and you've let go of God in some instances and you want to reclaim that today. There's no greater place to grab a hold of God again than in His house. Come to this altar. Say, Lord, forgive me. I'm home. I'm coming home. And I promise you, when you grab a hold of Him again, He's never left you, but He will welcome you home. Maybe you're looking for a good church home, and we invite you. We'd love to have you go about this church. Most of all, if you're lost today, may you truly come to Jesus. This is our prayer. Father, we pray. If we believe by faith that your Spirit is in this place. Watch over these moments in Jesus, whose precious bowed and your eyes are closed. Would you come in the name?